Amen. Thank you for singing with us. It's good to be reminded that the blessed assurance in the God in whom we trust and that we look to. Our governor has asked today to be a day of prayer, and many have prayed all across the state and are praying all across the nation and the world. And I think it'd be fitting to take a few minutes here in prayer before we look at God's word in Psalm 13 tonight. Let's hear this word as prayer, as a guide to our prayer. Psalm 18 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Will you pray with me as we look to the Lord? Heavenly Father, as we begin tonight, we want to begin by just saying, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. When there was nothing in us worthy of being redeemed and saved and loved and bought, you purchased us at the cost of your Son. You have filled us with your Spirit and you have called us your own. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are our strength. Lord, when we look around at our state and our nation and the world, we realize how feeble man's strength is to even hold back a virus. To even hold back a sickness that spreads, Lord, through simple touching of others, Lord, and how powerless we are to stay that virus, Lord. But we know that in your strength that all things are possible, Lord. And we pray tonight that we would be reminded that you are our rock and our fortress and our deliverer. Deliverance from this, Lord, this reminder, a foretaste of what judgment will look like, Lord, that we would flee, those that don't know you would flee to you, Christ Jesus. That they would come to you and find refuge and strength and a hiding place in you and as their rock, Lord, as we are reminded of our weakness. And others, Lord, who are facing other issues, and whether it be other physical illnesses or sicknesses or just struggles, Lord, or loss of income or opportunities or work or job or relationships, God, that you would remind us that you are our deliverer and our rock, and you are our strength as we walk through this. The horn of our salvation and our stronghold. Lord, we call upon you as your word says, because you're worthy to be praised. And I ask tonight as we simply go through and unpack your word, that we would be reminded, Lord, how to pray, what to pray, and the God in whom we pray to. That we would be encouraged and built up, Lord, as a body of Christ and as individuals and families that are spread all across this valley and maybe even the nation here, Lord, and maybe hearing this. But, Lord, we ask that you would turn and from this and heal our land and draw men and women to you, that you would save us, that you would sanctify us, and that you would lessen our dependence and clinging to the things of this world. And look, as the psalmist said to you, who do we have in heaven but you? And what do we desire on this earth but you, Lord God? And I pray that that would be true of us tonight. In Christ's name, amen. If you would turn with me to Psalm 13. I'll be reading Psalm 13. It's just six short verses for us tonight. And we're going to consider this. I have preached this sermon a few years ago at our church. And this psalm has been near and dear to me at many times in my life. And I thought it was apropos for what we're going through in our times right now. And I've reworked much of it and rethought of it as I've worked through what to say today. So would you look with me at Psalm 13 as we just look here at God's Word. And listen to what the choir master, a psalm of David, writes for us. It's to the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But God, as I have trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, again, as the sun is shining through the windows as evening is beginning to dawn, Lord, that we are reminded of your creation. It pours forth speech that you are the God in whom all things must bow down and worship. And Lord, I pray tonight that as you take this word, that you would use it as an encouragement, as a reminder, and as a model for us, Lord, on how we can approach you and take comfort in your word, in Christ's name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, if we're honest with ourselves, one of the most common questions that has been bantered around, whether it be on the news or with families and friends, is how long? How long? How long will we not be able to meet for worship? How long will we have this stay-at-home order? How long will our lives be disrupted? How long will this virus be a part of our lives, our finances, our activities? How long, oh Lord, will this go on? And quite frankly, no matter what anybody says or any expert can say, we do not know how long. For some of you that are out there, you are already and have been dealing with some how long issues in your life. And this virus and the inconvenience, the scare, the limitations that have been placed upon you is just another how long circumstance that you are dealing with. But the good news is, as we come tonight, we don't preach man, we don't preach the wisdom of man, we preach the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that life is hard. Life is hard, and we don't have to pretend that it isn't. Life is hard, and this world that we were living in right now is not our home. And we don't have to pretend that this is as good as it gets. But it's time as believers for each of us to be honest, is it not? It's time for us to be honest with ourselves that we have, that we are, or that we will go through something that shakes you to your core. You're going to walk through things that rattle your faith and the foundation in which you can sing and pray about and bring you to a point where you say, how long, O Lord? It'll leave you crying that out day after day. Well, I'm overjoyed and thankful for the privilege of not only preaching, but preaching this word and this specific psalm because God has included it in His word, this Psalm of David, because we can let our guard down today, folks. No matter where you're at, whether it be on your couch or your chair or out on your front porch or wherever you're listening to this, you can let your guard down, you can take off your mask, you can set down any pretense or any defensiveness and all self-sufficiency. Because Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament. And it is a psalm that is meant to be sung by the body of believers. You see, it powerfully grasps the real and raw emotions that we have as believers and that are living in a sin-fallen world. It models for us the raw emotions of feeling abandoned by God. Yes, I said feeling abandoned by God. That as Christians, we don't have to pretend that sometimes God feels far away. And God is seemingly hidden. And David here, as we come to Psalm 13, is at his breaking point, teaching us that these emotions are part of the normal Christian experience. But God is faithful in the midst of the darkness and does not leave us to despair. So will you look with me at how we are to pray in the midst of these circumstances. Let's look at the first heading. It's very simple, taken from verses 1 and 2. And the first part of our prayer is, how long? How long? Because there seems to be a forgetting and a hiding of verse 1. The psalm opens up with David asking this question of how long. It's an outcry of emotion. It is pent up and it is spilling over into his life. The anguish, the discouragement, the despair has led to this repeated question of how long. Just in these first two verses, he will ask this question four times. And David is very specific, is he not, if you look at the text, that what has led him to talk like this and to question God. It says here in the word that he feels like God has forgotten him and that God is hiding from him. Let me say that again. David, whom the throne of Jesus the lineage of Jesus comes through says he feels abandoned and alone. The one who slayed Goliath feels abandoned and alone. Now, if I were to give you, as Christians, a pop quiz on whether God really abandons his people, and I want you to give me some scripture to support your answer, most of us would answer an emphatically no. We know in our heads that God does not abandon his people. And we would cite scripture like, I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the word. No one will be snatched out of my hand, says Jesus. I am with you always, lo, till the end of the earth, till the end of time, the word tells us, and we're reminded of this truth. And now again, as I said, we can know that in our head, but we can know it to pass a quiz. But then when difficulty strikes and hearts and emotions and feelings get involved, that becomes another story, does it not? David is there. Folks, David is there. And he has allowed us to sneak into his not only his room where he is at, but into his inner thoughts and feelings, to his very core, to let us know that he is at the end of his rope, that he is hanging with white knuckles on the ledge, feeling like he is forgotten and abandoned. And David dares to ask this question. And this is why you got to love the Psalms, the language of the people that should encourage us in our prayers and how we come to God. David says, will you forget me forever? David basically has come to himself and says, I don't feel like there's an end to what I'm going through. These circumstances are overwhelming, and I feel like you, God, have forgotten me. And will it be forever? God's face seems hidden. The light of God's favor and grace feels removed. Praying, worshiping, reading, feels like he's just going through the motions. Frankly, it all feels pointless and fruitless. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like that? You can see on the pages of what God says, I am your refuge and strength, your very present help. But Lord, when I'm walking through the trouble, it seems like you are not there. And so when we come to this first section here in verse 1, David is looking upwards to God, and it is seemingly ringing hollow. There's no answer, and there is no relief. But this how long is also based upon sorrow and shame. Look at with me at verse 2. David has tried, he's looked upward to God, and he has said, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? I can't see you, I don't sense you, I don't feel you, Lord. How long, O Lord? But now he decides he must, since looking upward is not working, now take counsel in his own soul, and he looks inward. And you and I both know that when you start to look inward, it's going to lead to sorrow and despair. And what David has done, he said, I have rehashed the circumstance, I have devised my plans. And which way to turn, thinking of which way will bring relief, what can I do? And yet it only leads, as the word says, to us to daily sorrow. Day and night there is no relief. Looking upward, there's nothing. I've looked within myself. I have done everything to scheme and to work and to try and to fret and to worry and to manipulate and control. And there's still no relief. And now he says, I've looked upward, I've looked inward, and so now I'll look outward. And what's he see? He says he sees the enemy exalting and rejoicing over his troubles and circumstances. There's a boasting and there's a gloating by the enemy at the weakened position of David. And David again says, how long? How long will this go on? You see, David's not a newbie to the faith here, folks. David's been through things. David's lived a life, and David knows God. David knows God's covenant, and he knows God's promises. Yet all he sees is the enemy winning and seeing him being trampled, and the enemy loving every minute of it. So this discouragement, let me back up before I say this. These are words now to describe what David's going through that are biblical terms for real situations. And these are things that often we don't like to use because we feel then vulnerable. And yet David has invited us in not only to his house, not only to the front porch, but he comes in the house and then he bears his soul for us. And so words like discouragement, depression, loneliness, despair, near death, darkness. Again, those are biblical terms for real life situations. And David is laying his heart and soul before God and before us, the readers and the singers of this psalm. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord, he does. Praise the Lord, he does. I'll ask you tonight, you ever been in this type of situation? You ever been in this kind of situation where God seems to have forgotten and abandoned you? Have you ever felt like you were all alone? That nobody knows what I'm going through? I can't share this with anybody because what will they think? Or if I do share with them, I don't want to be a burden. And so you keep this to yourself. You've looked up, you've looked in, you've looked out. And by the way things look, it's led just to more doubt. And this is what has taken place. Whether it be a physical condition, emotional, or relational situation, I'll tell you what, though, this is 100% a spiritual situation that David's feeling like and going through. Feeling like God's abandoned, stopped listening, and doesn't care, folks, is worse than any physical pain we could go through. Is it not? To think that the God in whom we trust, the God who gives us this word and these lavish promises, that He is our refuge and strength, our high tower, our fortress, He will never leave us and forsake us, and to stop and to feel like we've been abandoned and He's not listening is worse than any physical pain we can go through. But the good news is tonight, Lord, we thank You that we don't have to pretend or put on a Christian face, that it's okay. It's all together. I don't want to make the subject of every sermon the virus. Because for some of us, all it has done is inconvenience us. For others, it has scared us. For others, it has affected their families. We know friends who are now has this and are been limited from seeing family members. So this has a widespread touch. But what it has reminded us is God brings difficulty. He will bring us out of our comfort zone. And how we handle that is important. But the key and the first thing in stepping through this difficulty is what I want us to get here in these first two verses. Is be real. Bring your honest emotions to the Lord. When is the last time you talked like this to God? What are you afraid of? He doesn't know already what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts before you've even spoken them. So what is it that we're afraid of? But the thing is, we don't stop here. We don't stop in verses 1 and 2. But David is modeling for us that it is okay to be raw, to be honest, to be real before God and our brothers and sisters. So we have a how long, and now you see David's going to step it up in verses 3 and 4 with an answer me. Look there with me, the first part of verse 3. He says, give me some consideration. David's not just crying out, how long? But he says, I want you, God, to consider and answer me. He says these words here, how long must I take counsel? And how long must I have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy exalt over me? So now consider me and answer me, O Lord, my God. That is not a very polished tone, is it? But it's real. And it's raw and it's biblical. As we see, answer me, Lord. Answer me, Lord. But here's the key as we are praying even today, even as we pray as individuals and families and now as a church and as a country and as a world for God to be glorified and to God to ease His hand with this and all that we're going through. But the question, though, is why would and should God answer us? Why would and should God answer David after all he had questioned? And David tells us these words here. Because, O Lord, or Yahweh, is my God. Did you catch that there? How long must I keep counsel? How long? And then consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. That's the difference maker right there. This is the covenant-keeping God. This is the God of David and yours. Praying, as we know, is always in the name of God. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, the help of the Spirit, and it includes all of God's attributes, promises, truths, and power. Is it not fascinating, though, as David thinks that God has abandoned him and left him to himself and the enemy and his enemies? He says, I feel abandoned. How long? My enemies are gloating over me. And so what's he do? He keeps praying. Brothers and sisters, that is poor logic. But that's real faith. Did you catch that? I feel like you've abandoned me. My enemies are winning. Yet he keeps praying. Poor logic. But real faith. He keeps seeking the God who alone can give answers. He's not allowing his emotions and his feelings to get the last word. Though he sees and feels a certain way, he must keep asking God to consider and answering him. And why is that? He said, because he's my God. We are his people. And we are to persist in prayer because we are his children. When we pray for each other, we pray that God would do all that he's going to do. We can be assured that no matter how you feel, that God is giving consideration and is answering you because he is your God. But he doesn't want just consideration. He doesn't just want an answer. In the verse 3, the last part of verse 3 and 4, he says, give me some light. It's been dark. My soul feels weary. It feels heavy. This has gotten long. The nights are long. The days are dark. I need some light. And he says, light up my eyes. My faith has been cloudy. My faith has been darkened. Help me to see, Lord. Give me strength to continue in the light of your presence. Help me to, Lord, walk even when it feels like and seems like something other than it is. I need some truth that's rooted in eternity. In the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who will guide and lead us. And David says and gives three specific reasons and requests for his pleading to God to answer him. And I love this here. Lest we sleep the sleep of death. David realized that death seems imminent. And David doesn't want death to get the final word. When we're closed in our houses, we're limited, brothers and sisters. I talked to a dear brother today, Brother Jake, and we were talking. We should be gripped, folks, that there are going to be people who die who don't know Jesus. We need to pray that people, before they sleep the sleep of death, they would have the light of their eyes awakened. And if it takes this virus, if it takes the heavy hand of the Lord and his heavy providence now, I pray that he would open eyes. I pray that because, you know, our God answers that prayer. But David said, lest the enemy be prevailed, lest he prevail over him. David doesn't want evil and evil men to have the victory and triumph over good. I've heard people say, what's going on now is Mother Earth and Mother Nature is upset and she's recalibrating the world. You know, when you're lost, you're lost. And to utter words like that, to defame the holy God, is blasphemy. And we need to pray that when we feel like the enemy is going to prevail, that God would help us. That he would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because it is his kingdom. Now and forevermore. And so when you're walking through the valley, when you've got a how long situation in your life, and you want an answer, you're asking God to consider you because you are his child and he is your God, pray. Pray that we don't die the death, and that enemy doesn't prevail, and that they would rejoice. His enemies, his foes will rejoice because they're shaken. It's a perfect time for people to ask, where is your God in all of this? Where is your God since your churches are shut down? Where is your God in the midst of all this sickness that's touching everyone? Where is your God? There's a gloating and rejoicing, it seems. And that's for us as believers. We can feel this. We can feel like we're going to die and the enemy's going to win and that we are shaken to our core and our faith is weak. Shaken confidence. in a shaken condition. And oh, how Satan and the world and sinful man love to see the death and destruction of the righteous. And David feels this, folks. He feels the demeaning taunts, the defeat and the death that are knocking at his door. That it is close. But David is modeling for us a beautiful combination of prayer, verses 1 and 2. It's a raw emotion. Tell God how you feel. Tell God what you need. And that verse 3 and 4 tells it, tell it specifically. David came with reasoned arguments. God, I want you glorified. Don't let your enemy boast over me. Don't let them mock me. Not for your name, but because you're my God. Oftentimes it's very easy, is it not, to fall off on one side or the other. We're either all emotion in our prayers, or we're just emotionless, stoic, and we go through the litany of our days and we're detached from what we say. So right in the midst of your how long situation, you're to speak to God emotionally and real, but specifically. Let me ask you, do you present your requests and arguments to God specifically? God, I need you, blank, blank, blank. God, will you fill it in? And I think of this scene in Luke 11. If you want to go there with me, Luke 11, verses 5 through 10. Love this picture. This has convicted me. This has convicted me. Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. And then verse 5. Jesus said to them, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give them anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence. Or another way to say that is because of his persistence. He will rise and give them whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. So, Jesus is teaching the same type of prayer that David was modeling. Did you see it here? There was a specific need. I need some bread. And I shamelessly, I emotionally, I came and bore my soul, and I kept on knocking, and Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and it will be open and given to you. Keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on praying. Jesus himself modeled that for us. Be shameless, be specific, tell God what you perceive as your need. But it was all on the basis of this. He's my God. Do you know him? Are you resting in him? And realizing that he alone is the one. Quickly, as we move through this last part of the psalm, we've had an answer me. We've had him say, answer me, how long? And now we get the last two verses. Do this. This is what we need to do, folks. There's a change in David that is taking place in the midst of his feelings of despair, abandonment, and death. And it begins with a simple but. Did you catch it here? Verse 5. But. Lest my enemy prevail, lest I sleep the death, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken, but I have trusted. All that David has said and felt before there, there's a but though. There's about to be a change. That might be true. That might be how I felt or I might be feeling. But due to his trust. But I want us to note here. Folks, this is not a trust in what he sees. You watch the news. They found a cure. They don't have a cure. It's spreading. It's not spreading. It's this. It's that. You know, every day you can live up and down. But there's a news channel that never changed. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ. And he needed to anchor his trust in what he sees. It's not in what he sees, excuse me, not in what he feels, what he hears on the inside of him, or what his enemy is saying, or what is surrounding him. It is trust in an unchanging truth. So David's change came about when he stopped talking about things and started talking to himself with truth. He's not listening anymore to his emotions. They don't get the final word. They're not the final answer. But his trust in God's steadfast love, God's loving kindness and mercy is there for him. Do you see this? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. It's that Hesed covenant-keeping love. Again, it's his loving kindness and mercy. Did you hear it? God's kindness and mercy. It is a faithful love of God when we don't deserve it. This is what David's pleading on behalf of. He's remembering the past. But I have trusted. I've trusted in your steadfast love, the saving love and the mercy of God. David is reassuring himself. He's reorienting himself to the objective truth. Did you hear what I said? The objective truth. This word is an objective truth. It is not subjective. It is not sinking sand. It is not changed by day or night. It is this objective final word of God in which we are to plant our flag and to stand on that solid ground. So as David does this, this reorienting of himself, what does it cause David to do? It causes him to remember. This was a theme in Psalm 46. It's a theme that I think God is teaching us in the midst of what you're walking through right now. Do you remember? Remember. Do you remember in the midst of your emotions, your arguments with God, your despair, your darkness, you got to remember. You got to remember what's true of God and what's true of you in Christ. Do you remember? So do this. Remember the past. And lastly, the second part of 5 and 6, rejoice in the present. He says in the last part of verse 5, my heart rejoices rejoices in Yahweh's salvation. He rejoices in this. Rejoice in your salvation. The sorrow of his heart in verse 2 is replaced with rejoicing. He's resolved, he's purposeful, he's rejoicing. We must set our face upon God and on His strength and in His strength, His steadfast love and salvation. We look here at this word, this rejoicing. How can we rejoice right now? Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you through a cell phone that's connected through Facebook. We cannot gather as people right now. What do we have to rejoice in? Well, what we have to rejoice in is that I'm speaking to you through a cell phone on Facebook about the one true and living God. It is good to remember and rejoice in the present due to remembering God's past faithfulness. Hey, listen, folks. If God can bring the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness into the Promised Land, God can bring us through a virus. But we must reorient ourselves and remember the faithfulness of God, which will only cause us to rejoice in the present. There is no merit or righteousness of our own, but the righteousness of the one given to us, the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who causes us to rejoice. I want to ask you this question. I want you to spend some time with your family or by yourself or your husband or your children, whoever you're with tonight. Doesn't the assurance of unfailing love of God make all the difference? Brothers and sisters, I don't want to see any of us die from this virus. I don't want to see any of us suffer unnecessarily. Yet some are suffering even now that have nothing to do with any of this. And I hate to see it. But in the end, we win. We need to remember God's past faithfulness, which will give us joy and rejoicing in the present. And he says in verse 6, of all things, folks, this is a model for me, as I told you. I sing terribly, as you know, and to sing and have it recorded is humbling. But when David says, I will sing to the Lord, it reminds me that who cares what people think? We're singing to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when God brings you to remembrance of what He's done, and He brings rejoicing and life to your bones, there's a determination to sing. This I will sing to the Lord, it's a tense of resolve. and determination. This is something where he gets up and says, I may not feel like it. It doesn't look promising, but I resolve to sing by faith to the Lord, the God of gods, the King of kings. Because God has dealt bountifully with me. It's that seamless interweaving of rejoicing, remembering, and singing in response to what God has done. The cry of how long at the beginning of verse 1 and 2 has been exchanged for a song of joy and thanksgiving in four short verses. Brothers and sisters, I want us to realize that God doesn't just give us enough to get by. He is not a stingy God. No, He deals bountifully with us. Lavishly, He loves us and forgives us and He sustains us. So in the midst of a spiritual battle, a physical battle, an emotional battle, whatever it may be, one line of defense is remember the past faithfulness and rejoice in His present faithfulness to you. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a time for us to be practicing and to be preparing. Because things may get worse. We don't know. But we want to use this time to remember that we must talk to ourselves with the truth. Remember and of God from His word to you. Again, the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, model for us that vulnerable prayers, emotional, raw prayers, are heard and accepted by God. Listen to what Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says. Jesus offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Loud cries and tears from our Savior, who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. With loud cries and tears, prayed and learned obedience to His Father by walking in the sufferings of this world. And so we have one who has not suffered aimlessly, but on our behalf, who can resonate with everything we're walking through. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. Wanting to test the bridge, the builder loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. The train was then driven to the middle of the bridge where it stayed an entire day. One worker asked him, "Why are you trying to break this bridge?" The builder replied, "I'm not. I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break." Brothers and sisters, God's point in trials, in those how long, O Lord, times, is not to crush believers for no reason. It's so that we would be like Christ, where we learn through the weight of trials that we bear, showing that God alone, that Christ alone is sufficient, and that He alone is enough to sustain us. It is to drive us to Him, making us like Him, and to be never left alone. We don't walk through those trials alone. We have a sympathetic Savior who felt the distress of sin and a fallen world. And what did He do? He prayed and He continues to pray for you. Jesus Christ Himself modeled for you a how long prayer, did He not? When He was on that cross and He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But He would pray, not My will, but Yours. And in Jesus Christ, the greater David would end that prayer with, it is finished. And into My hands I commit My spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus walked through the shadow of death so that we would never have to walk alone. I close with this. My hope in preaching the Psalm of David is a reminder. It's a reminder to us that how long prayers are part of the believer's life. Don't run and hide in shame. And don't be afraid to reach out to brothers and sisters. Take it to the Lord and take it to those who can help and walk with you. But you know what's so fascinating about this psalm as we close with it tonight? We're not told that David's circumstance ever changed, are we? But David definitely did. The takeaway is this. Circumstances? Nah, they're not the issue. But how we respond, that's the key issue. We must remember the truth of God, apply the Word of God, and rejoice in the truth of God. Even and especially when we don't feel like it. I can't answer how long, but I can point you to the one who is able and will enable you to go on one day at a time. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so privileged. I'm getting to preach more. If one great thing is that I'm blessed to be able to share, and I'm humbled that anybody would even listen. Because it's not the man who they come to hear. It is the man whom we are pointing to, and that is you, Lord God. And I pray that you would stir affections for whoever is far away and near. That though this is temporary, we want to use it for all it's worth. And I pray, Lord God, that tonight when people are walking through some how long moments, that you would bring a comfort and a joy and a sustaining strength, and that we would pray to you, remembering and rejoicing that you have been good to us and you will be good to us and see us through. In Christ's name, amen.